So this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I have on the line with me Ellen, who also helps me with Panama Relocation Tours. In fact, in the last tour that we did, tour number 121, I think it was, Ellen did the whole tour herself because my daughter had just come to town and she was not feeling very well, so I wasn't sure what the situation was, and I thought I needed to go over there and go check on her. So Ellen is an ace at doing these tours also. So Ellen, let's tell everybody a little bit about why were you even thinking about moving to Panama and where you're from, you know, before you moved to Panama. Yes. But tell everybody why you wanted to move here.
All right. As Jackie said, my name is Ellen, and I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama. And 2014 really became important for my husband and me. We started really kind of looking around about moving from the U.S. There were just a lot of reasons. Probably the number one reason was that we had become caregivers, both of us had, for our parents in the year before in 2013. And so everything that was happening with them and then everything that was happening in the U.S., we just really weren't, you know, very happy with it. We have a son who is now 16, but at the time he was 10. And I just really wanted something different for him. I wanted him to know that, you know, that there are a lot of things out there besides just Birmingham, Alabama. I'd had the opportunity to study in Europe when I was in university and to travel, you know, quite a bit around the world. But I had to wait till I was a little older. So I really wanted something a little different from him. And like I said, just everything that was going on in the U.S., everything that was going on with our parents, we just decided, you know what, maybe this is the time that we needed to start looking around and maybe find somewhere, you know, a little different than Birmingham, Alabama. So I started doing a lot of research, like I'm sure that most of you have, and came upon Panama, and Panama Relocation Tours just kept popping up. You know, everything that I did. So in September of 2014, my husband and our son, who was then 10, came on Jackie's tour. And that just pretty much solidified everything that I had already researched, everything that I knew about Panama, just, you know, the beauty of the country, the stability of the government, just so many things. You know, I just thought, you know what, this is where I want to be. So we stayed an extra week after the tour, like we recommend that you do either before or after. And then in January of 2015, we actually came back for a seminar, a real estate seminar that Jackie sometimes does, and stayed an additional 10 days just, you know, trying to figure out where exactly we wanted to be. We knew my husband is originally from Fort Walton Beach, Florida, and I spent most of my summers in Panama City Beach, Florida, and just, you know, that was another thing we wanted for our son, to be able to grow up at the beach. So on the tour, you'll visit a lot of different areas, but Coronado was one of the ones that we visited, and we just really liked that area and Gorgona. So after the real estate conference that we did with Jackie in January 2015, and we stayed that week, we just kind of rented a car and spent that time driving up and down the Pan-American Highway, you know, just trying to find a place that we thought would be a great fit for us and where we wanted to live. So eventually we did come upon a place called Playa Blanca, which is about 30 minutes west of Coronado. It's a really nice area. It's a resort area. But, you know, when we were there, it was January, and let me just say that our school years here in Panama run differently. So at that time, school was out. So there were quite a few people when we actually ended up staying about a week at Playa Blanca in January after the seminar. You know, so there were children there, and there were a lot of people there, so we just thought, hey, you know, this will be a great place for us to move.
So Ellen, you rented a condo in Playa Blanca, is that right?
Right. Yep. We rented it first in January.
Was it a one bedroom, two? Well, I guess with your son, you got at least a two bedroom, right?
Yeah, we did. We rented in January, like I said, we rented a two bedroom in Playa Blanca, and it kind of used that as our home base, but decided the more we stayed there for that week, we really liked that area. Originally, we wanted a three-bedroom because the plan was to bring my mom with us when we moved to Panama because I had become her primary caregiver. So we spoke with the property managers, you know, that actually had the condo that we stayed in January, and they had a three-bedroom that was available, you know, that was going to be available at the time that we wanted to move. And so we ended up, we're going to rent that three-bedroom. Unfortunately, my mom died June before we moved to Panama in August of 2015. So we ended up with a two-bedroom, two baths on the ninth floor in Playa Blanca overlooking the Pacific.
Do you mind telling everybody what you paid for that?
We paid $800 a month. Now, that did not include power or cable and internet. You'll find on the coast, usually in Panama, power is not included. And that's just because, you know, a lot of us like it, like we did, we wanted it comfortable, I mean, cool. So, you know, we ran our air conditioner quite a bit, and our power bills ended up being about $300, $350 a month. And that was not really to keep it comfortable or keep it cool, actually. It was just to keep it tolerable, I would say, you know, to be able to sleep. Also here we have split units. So as you know, Jackie, that means, you know, you cool the room that you're in at the time. So if we were all in the den, we'd cool that room. And then when we went to the bedroom, we'd cool that room. But it's still just, you know, we didn't have a cross breeze. That's another thing that's incredibly important. Make sure that you have a breeze. If you're going to be staying on the coast, anywhere around the beach, that area, make sure there's a cross breeze where you are.
Yeah, so whenever you were there, did you get a car, or how did you get to places to buy groceries and things like that?
Yeah, so we did not get a car when we first moved. When we lived in Playa Blanca, we would rent one maybe once a month if we had to go, say, like to Price Mart, which is like a Costco, you know, to get a lot of groceries. But most of the time, we just took the bus. So that meant going either 30 minutes into Coronado or 30 minutes into Penonome, which is west of Playa Blanca, to go get groceries. And that, you know, that's not such a bad thing, unless you just want one or two items. And having to go 30 minutes one way to get a loaf of bread kind of becomes challenging. And you also have to think about coming back. You know, if you have a lot of groceries, you're going to have to, what we always would do is just get a taxi to come back. Because you don't want to take all that on the buses, you know, just because it's a little tight when, you know, there's so many people on the bus. Although the buses here are amazing. They're cool. They're clean. You know, just when you have three people with a ton of groceries, that's just not something you wanted to do. So when we first moved here, we did not have a car unless we rented one. And that was maybe, like I said, once a month, just to, you know, if we had to go and to get a lot of things, like to Price Mart or to, you know, even into Panama City to go to one of the malls to stock up.
Mm-hmm. So you said that whenever you moved there, it was January and school was out, so there were probably a lot of families with children around.
Oh, yeah.
But school in Panama starts at the end of February, so by March there was probably not very many children, and your son was probably getting kind of lonesome by then, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, for the first month, that first month we were there, the first part of August till September, it was amazing. We had a wonderful pool. We could go to the beach, you know, walk on the beach, walk around the actual little resort area. And you know, for the first month, he was happy with mom and dad. But after that, he was the only child. And I decided to homeschool him because he had been in school pretty much since he was two. That's another thing, you know, about being in the States, because my husband and I were on that hamster wheel that I'm sure a lot of you know what I'm talking about. We just never saw each other. So as a result, our child was in school or after school or before school care all the time. So when we moved to Panama, I decided I would try homeschooling, especially being out in Playa Blanca. There just weren't, you know, there's not really a school that far out for him. So it was just him. So by December, we moved in August there, and by December, when I asked for his Christmas wish list, his only wish was for a friend. So, of course, being a mom, my heart broke, and as you'll learn on the tour, and, you know, we'll say this a million times to you, the first time you ever have a problem, your first thing that you do is call Jackie, and that's immediately what I did. And I just, you know, Jackie, I'm sure you remember me, you know, oh, Jackie,
oh, yeah.
I have a problem, crisis, I'm happy, help, I need help, what I do, so... of course, you told me, hey, get through Christmas, come to Boquete, and, you know, we'll see what we can find. And that's exactly what we did.
Well, one of the reasons I did that is we have so many children that live in this area. And some other areas do, too, like San Carlos. There's quite a few children in the San Carlos area. But I think by that time, you were also kind of getting tired of the heat and those high electric bills that went along with it.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you're paying... between $300 and $350, and that's not really even to be comfortable. That's just to be able to tolerate it to sleep at night. Yeah, that gets a little old. And just the fact that being in Playa Blanca, it would be perfect, I would think, for, you know, if you didn't have children, if you were retired, even if you had a car. because at the time too, there was nothing there as far as shopping goes. Now there is a shopping center that it was actually being built when we moved there, but at the time there was nothing. So no grocery store, no pharmacy, nothing, unless we rode the bus 30 minutes, one way. So it was just a lot of things. But we knew, and honestly, because when we came on the tour, we had originally intended to stay in Coronada that extra week. But once we got here to Boquete, which is where the tour ends, both my husband and son came down with some kind of a virus. So we moved our plans and ended up staying here in Boquete. And I knew then, I fell in love with Boquete. I knew we would end up here, but, being the good wife I am, I thought, that's what my husband wants to do. Let's try the beach. So we did. But I just, and once you see Boquete, I think most people understand why I'm saying this. The weather was perfect. The location, like Jackie said, there's so many more kids here, expats, and just a lot of more things to do than there were at Playa Blanca. Even though Playa Blanca is beautiful, and for some people it's absolutely perfect, but just at that time in our life, it was not the right fit for us.
Right. Well, the other thing is you don't even need an air conditioner in Boquete, $300 savings right there.
Exactly. Yeah, no air conditioning, no heater. We don't have either. We don't need them. We never close our windows. We never close our doors. It's the perfect for us, the perfect temperature.
Yeah. So after you relocated to the Boquete area from Playa Blanca, did your son start making friends and feel a little bit more comfortable?
Oh, yes, absolutely. It's funny, when we say listen to what Jackie tells you, because she's right. She met us at the bus stop when we came in from Playa Blanca and took us around in her car for a couple of days to help us try to find somewhere to live. And one of the places that we looked at was what we would consider a duplex in the U.S., and it was right next door to a before or after school care because they have both here. So there were always children there. And Jackie said, this is where you need to move. And we're like, well, maybe we. And she just kept saying, this is where you need to move. So, of course, we took Jackie's advice, and we were here in Boquete in less than a month. This January was 4 years ago, and we're still here. The first day that Price was here, the kids were outside playing soccer, and he was sitting out on the back porch watching him, and they were watching him, watching them. And so they said, ven, amigo, which means come, friend. So Price came over there and started playing soccer with them. And that was just what he did for the next almost year. Every day he was there with them. They included him in their lunches. They included him in the classes that they would take. He would ride the bus to take them home in the afternoon. And so within 3 months of us moving to Boquete, Price was completely fluent in Spanish. And when I say fluent, I don't just mean fluent. I mean, Jackie, you've heard him. Everything about his Spanish makes people think that he's Panamanian, not North American. So
he has the hand gestures down too,
oh, yeah,
because Panamanians talk as much with their hand as they do with their mouth, and he does
exactly that
too.
Yeah, he's got it all down. So all of his friends are Panamanian. Another thing to consider when you do make that move to wherever, whatever country, even if it's not Panama, is how fully immersed do you want to be in that society? And for us, it was important to live in a Panamanian neighborhood. The majority of the people here are Panamanian. And that was because, I didn't move to another country to be around people just like me. Now that's fine. If that's your choice, that is perfectly fine for you, but that was not really what I wanted, because I wanted Price to know that, hey, not everybody looks like you or dresses like you or talks like you. So, we live 3 blocks from downtown in a Panamanian neighborhood, and all his friends are Panamanian. So, it's just been a perfect fit. His curfew, if I could call it that, he's out till midnight every night. He's now 16.
Not right now. We have a curfew at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, right. Right now it is 9, yeah, but usually until the last few days or week, it was midnight. And, when I say that, please don't freak out, because I could see where he was from my driveway, because his friends live less than a block from us. And, and that's always where he was. So either he's with them or they're up here at my house playing soccer, riding bikes, having water balloon fights. It's a lot like what people grew up with, like in the 60s and 70s, perfectly safe. I never worry about his safety. You know, he knows when the street lights come on, he better let me know, you know, exactly where he's going to be and for how long. But other than that, that's just something I do because, you know, as a mom, that's just what you do. So.
Well, there's this old saying that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And I know you were pretty sad and depressed whenever Price was not happy and you didn't know how to fix the problem. But you solved that problem by just moving to a different area. One of the things we really encourage people to do during the tour is just rent first and get as short a term lease as possible. Month to month would be the ideal situation. Yep. Because then if the neighbors are too noisy or there's not enough children or it's too hot or it's too cold, you can just move to you don't have to move back to your country. You can just move someplace else in Panama. The great thing about this country is that at sea level, it's about 90 degrees plus or minus 5. And then for every 1,000 feet you go up in elevation, the temperature drops about 4 degrees. So you can literally pick your ideal temperature based on the elevation. And that makes it great. So it's glad that you found a place that Price was happy. But what about Mama? Right. You know, are you happy? You've been here 4 years now, and you see your son just thriving in this community. I see him riding all over town on his bicycle, just smiling from ear to ear. And he's obviously really, really happy here. Well, what about you? Left a very stressful life of working all the time, and then taking care of your mom who was very sick, and then coming down here, and it's pretty slow pace
like
down
that.
Here. So how's your adjustment been?
Well, you know, and Jackie, you know the whole story. When I first got here, it was hard. I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you, and it wasn't the adjustment of moving to a new country for me. It was the adjustment that I lost both of my parents within 21 months of each other, and you know, I had poured all my heart and soul into taking care of my mom. And then the move here, that once I got here and I was able just to kind of breathe, then I was like, oh, okay, so now what? What in the world am I going to do? You know, where do I focus that energy? So, you know, it wasn't all, you know, rainbows and sunshine for me at first. Once we moved to Boquete, I would say the situation changed. My husband actually got a job, so he now works outside of the house as well. But, you know, that still left me at home. I mean, so that was hard for somebody, you know, up until 2013. I traveled weekly, daily. I would say, you know, I was gone 4 days a week. Even after Price was born, he stayed with my parents quite a bit. You know, and so I was not used to being home all the time. So that's tough. You know, and we always say, too, get a hobby. Have something to do, whether it's working out, yoga, walking, drawing, puzzles, reading, whatever it is, have a hobby. Because if you don't, and Jackie and I see this and hear this a lot, people just sit at home and they will drink themselves to death. You know, and that I'm not saying that's something that I did, but I'm just saying if you don't have something to do. So at first it was difficult for me. And, you know, homeschooling, not used to that. I am not the stay-at-home mom. That's not what I think I was put here on this earth to do. So it was challenging. You know, then I was blessed to have the opportunity to work with you, Jackie, and that's just totally turned my entire life around. I love what I do because I love this country. And, you know, and I love to show other people this country. And so being able to get out and all, it's just made a total difference for me. It's made a total difference for my family because now they know that I'm, you know, doing what I like to do. I mean, we always say you can be as busy as you want to once you move here, or you can, you know, do as little as you want, and that's true. And at first it was my choice, really, because of where I was, to just kind of stay at the house. You know, my friends that I have here now, they're my family. You know, I don't really have family to speak of back in the U.S. So these people here in Panama have become my family. We celebrate, you know, our holidays together, our birthdays together, just every day. You know, and like right now, here we're all pretty much quarantined, you know, in this country. But yet all of our neighbors, you know, there are four of us or four units. And, you know, we're still hanging out and, you know, that stay in the yard and talk to each other at a safe distance, you know, that social distancing that we're doing. But it's still, you know, it's that sense of family that we have and that sense of community. So I would have to say now that, you know, this is the best thing that I could have ever done for my entire family.
So you talked about the importance of having a hobby or something to look forward to every week. What are some of your hobbies and things that you do when you're not helping me with a chore?
Yeah. Well, luckily, that's not a lot of time until recently. But probably our favorite thing to do is we do karaoke. Jackie knows this. My husband and I love to sing. There are opportunities almost every night now in Boquete to go out, and if you like that kind of thing, to sing. My husband and I love to walk around our neighborhood. We have two dogs, so we take them on walks quite often. You know, our son does go with us sometime, but he's 16, so as you can imagine, Mom and Dad aren't very smart right now. We're not fun, but probably, though, the best thing that I would say my husband and I do now is just spend time together. We never, ever had that luxury in the States. You know, I was going from 5 o'clock in the morning till 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, I saw them, but, you know, as I was coming in the door and trying to bathe the baby and get his, you know, homework done or whatever. And now we can literally, when he gets off work and I'm home, we can just sit on our back porch, which overlooks Jaramillo, which are these absolutely gorgeous chain mountains that surround Boquete on one side. And we just sit there and we can just talk. And that's something that we had not done in years. We've been together for 28 years now. And that's, you know, just something we never had the opportunity to do. We both love to read. We're avid readers. We love to play board games, cards. We get together with the neighbors. We cook out. So many things
Price, Price really enjoys pickleball a couple times a week,
yeah.
too.
Yep. He plays pickleball three times a week from 12:30 to 3:30.
Three times a week. Yep, we have pickleball in Panama. Not right now, for this whole virus thing. But we're going to get back to it once this virus is over.
Exactly.
And I know, Steve, whenever you were living out at the beach, you're not retirement age, so you didn't have a big pension or anything coming in. You were just living off of savings, and there weren't too many job opportunities out there by Playa Blanca without getting on a bus and traveling a long way. So moving to the area where you are also afforded him the opportunity to be able to just walk three blocks and go to work. Didn't even need a car.
Right. Yeah, he didn't. And it's good we do have a company car, so that we do have a car now. To go back to the question you asked me earlier, we didn't in Playa Blanca. We do now, but we don't need it. I mean, if we absolutely have to get a lot of things at the grocery store, we'll drive those three blocks downtown because we literally are three blocks from Main Street of Boquete. So, you know, if we need a lot of stuff, we may drive into town and get it, but we just really don't need it. But it's great to have it, you know, if we need to go into David or just to, you know, and when we first moved here, we used it a lot because we just drove around Boquete every Sunday. We did that Sunday drive that I guess a lot of you may remember, you know, that you would do after church. And we just drove around just to get familiar with the area and just because it's so incredibly beautiful. Waterfalls, you know, we would, you know, like have a picnic at, next to the caldera or just all the different loops. You say we have the loops that go through Boquete, which once you come on the tour, you'll be able to go on at least one and another one if you actually go on our last day tour that we have. But you just, you know, see, Panama's just a beautiful country. I just can't say enough about it, about, you know, how what it's done for me, even my health, you know, is even changed just from being here because it is so clean and so fresh and, you know, I can breathe again.
I know you used to take a lot of medications whenever you first moved here. Have you been able to get off of some of those with the cleaner air?
Absolutely have. When I was 30, I was diagnosed with severe asthma, and it was so severe that I ended up in ICU for 3 days, not being able to breathe. So I was on a preventive twice a day and a rescue inhaler for it. Once I moved to Boquete, it just all went away. I credit it to the fresh air. You eat a lot better, especially here in Boquete. We have no fast food. I suffered from chronic pain for over 25 years. But being here, you know, I think my inflammation, just your body itself, your entire body can become inflamed. And I think just coming off all that processed fast food that you're so apt to, you know, run by and get because you're in a hurry always. When you live in North America and you're working, you know, it's almost like 24/7. So you drive for the fast food and grab a hamburger and fries or whatever. And I don't do that here. I've come off of everything that I had to take in the States. I don't need it now.
Stress. I ask you the question about Playa Blanca on what you were paying for rent there. So what about in Boquete, the place that you're renting? Do you mind sharing
Boquete,
what your costs are there?
No, Nope, not at all. For a two-bedroom, two-bath, it's the same. You know, two-bedroom, two-bath, we pay $725 a month. We get $25 on our power, so anything over $25 we have to pay. And we've been here, like I said, in Boquete 4 years in January, and we've never gone over. So that's our total cost. That includes everything, water, trash pickup, power, internet, cable, everything. So basically our only cost besides food are our phones.
And the place that you're renting, it's all furnished. And when we say furnished, it comes with pots and pans and dishes and everything. Is that right?
Exactly. Everything. Really, only thing you need are your clothes and a toothbrush. I mean, everything else, you know, that you need is here. It's provided for you. What, you know, we love about renting, and a lot of people say, you know, will you ever buy? I don't know. We're comfortable with this because now that we both work, so anytime anything breaks, all we do is call our landlord, and we have a wonderful landlord who is, you know, he responds within a day of anything that we need. So, for instance, after we've been here 3 years, our mattress and our couch were all, you know, both really worn out. So my husband sent our landlord a message and said, hey, you know, and within less than a week we had a new couch and a new bed. So, you know, for us it just makes more sense to rent. We're perfectly happy with that. The fact that it is, you know, totally furnished. Of course, you know, it's not just exactly my taste, but that's not a big deal. You just, you know, change what you want to change, add pictures on the wall, you know, get new comforters, get new whatever that you want to, curtains, you know, and you can always make it as homely as you want or keep it, you know, that way. But everything that we needed was already here for us, except for our clothes, like I said, and toothbrushes. So,
yeah. What do you miss about living in the United States?
Gosh, what do I miss? I probably miss the most, what I consider a product junkie, so I love beauty, you know, like hair and makeup, that kind of thing. I miss being able to jump in my car and, you know, going to three or four different stores within, you know, a 10-minute of my home. I miss that. Don't have that big selection here in Boquete, but also know if I need it, you know, I can either go into the city when Jackie and I are there for a couple of days or order it. You can always get anything you want, pretty much. You can buy it online. So, you know, sometimes I miss that. Occasionally I miss my friends, but, you know, they're still in that race, that rat race where they're working all the time. They have children. So even if I live there, I wouldn't see them, you know. They haven't been here yet, but I understand that because, you know, they're still stuck doing that kind of stuff that was another big reason that we left, just to get out of that and to live here with less stress. So probably I would say that. I really don't miss anything else about it. I mean, it's I've never been even back to visit. Like I said, I've been here 4.5 years, never been back.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the couple times that I've been back, I missed Panama as soon as I got on the airplane.
Exactly. I can understand.
Yep, I totally understand. Even when I go to Panama City, I miss home.
Going to Panama City. And Jack and I always say, oh, my goodness, just one more day and we can start headed back, you know, to the other side of the country and go back home. Because this is home now. Panama's home. Boquete is home. And you know what? I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like I said, the best decision, hands down, that I have ever made, especially for my child. He is thriving here. I can't say enough good things about that. And like Jackie said, if Mama's happy, everybody's going to be happy. So, you know, he's happy, therefore I'm happy.
So I live in Boquete also. A lot of people already know that. So everything I really need, I can get it right here. But, you know, you realize you just don't need as much stuff as I used to always get whenever I lived back in Texas. You just don't need as much. But everything I really, really need, I can get it right here. There's always David that's about 30 minutes south of here, but it's so darn hot down there, I hate to go to David and try to avoid it as much as possible. So are there any things that you really don't like or that you wish would change in Boquete that
Rub you the wrong way? Well, this maybe is not a great time to ask because we have had problems with water for the last few days. You know those beautiful planters that they planted, Jackie, you know, with all the flowers, the big concrete one? Okay. Yeah, so they've kind of had some issues with the water mains underneath that. You know, and I miss that. And we tell you on the tour, when you rent, always make sure there's a water reserve tank for that very reason. Sometimes water goes out. That's just part of being in a, you know, well, technically it is a third world country still. Rent with a water reserve. I didn't. We did not have those. And that was one of the things I was willing to go without because of the location and everything was just perfect. So, yeah, I miss that. But you know what? It happened to me back in North America. Actually, power was worse in North America than it is here. My power would go up in North America a lot more than it does here. So it's a trade-off. You know what I mean? Just, you know what? The beautiful weather, like we, all of us here that are pretty much quarantine, because as of today, even my husband's job has been shut down for 30 days. So we're all just hanging out in our little compound together, you know, and we're just saying, but it could be so much worse. Oh my goodness. It's such a beautiful place and it's so clear and it's warm outside and it's breezy right now and the skies are blue. So I can just pretty much anything that happens, I can just take it because there's always going to be a trade-off anywhere you live. And for me, I just really can't think of anything that is so bad that I would ever leave here. I mean, it's just not that bad. So, but you do have to be flexible, and you know that, Jackie. You have to be flexible
you have
sometimes.
To, you know, what you really have to do is you have to rearrange your priorities. Is your priority to have the big fancy house and get a new car every other year and the latest designer clothes and the name of Marcus down the road and be able to eat out four times a week? But to work your rear end off to be able to accomplish that, or is your priority to just, step back a little bit and be able to sit on the back porch and talk to each other and look at the beautiful blue sky and the mountains and watch the clouds roll by. So different people have different people have different priorities, but you'll find that in Panama, a lot of people that, and there's some very, very, very wealthy people that have moved here. But you know what? A lot of them are just living in a simple house. They've just decided that it's not their big priority anymore. Mm-hmm. Only you can decide what's most important to you. I did get an email from someone, one person already, and I know it's going to come up with the questions. Someone had asked me if I was going to give out Ellen's name and all of her contact information, and we're not going to do that because the objective of this call is for you to listen to the call and get information. You'll have a chance to ask her some questions in a little bit, but we're not going to give out her email or phone number because she wants to have that tranquil time, especially in our quarantine that we're in right now, and she doesn't want to be bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of emails. If you have a specific email about anything about living in Panama, all you have to do is send an email to info@panamarelocationtours.com. And if it's something that I think Ellen can answer better than we can, because I don't have any children here, I do now. My 38-year-old daughter is living here in Panama, but I don't have any young children that are here. Then I can certainly get that email to Ellen, but we're not giving out her complete name, so you can go try to find her on Facebook. We're not giving out her email because she just wants to have some family time right now for these next 30 days. It's a serious situation with this virus. Nerves are, everybody's a little bit nervous about it and cautious about it and worried about it. So the last thing we want to do is get bombarded with a lot of emails for her in this trying time for all of us. But we do have the Q&A that's coming up in just a little bit. At, about 10, 15 more minutes, we'll have a Q&A, and you're welcome to ask her any questions at that time.
Jackie, you're talking about rearranging your priorities, and mm-hmm. I was shocked how I was able to move here with, there were three of us, and we came here with six suitcases, two cats, and a chihuahua. And just that in and of itself, like you said, it's all about your priorities, rearranging them. What do you really need? And guess what? I don't need 99.9% of the things that I thought I needed in North America, I don't need them. Definitely don't need them. Yeah. Don't miss them. Don't want them. Don't care if I ever have them again. I'm perfectly fine here. And like you said, it's all about rearranging those priorities and deciding. You know what I mean? What do you really need? Not what do you want, but what do you need? And I think a very important thing that you need to keep in mind when you're considering a move like this.
We lost you, Ellen. Okay,
here,
there you go. The last
I'm
thing
here.
we heard was when you're considering a move like this, and then we
Oh,
didn't hear anything else.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just said when you're considering a move to another country or any big move, you always have to just consider what do you really need, you know, and you'll find out that you need really a lot less than you think you do, or a lot less than you actually have right now. So that's all I was saying.
I don't know about you, but I, you know, when I moved to Panama, I had two suitcases and my husband had two suitcases and we brought one
Exactly.
cat. And to me, it was liberating to just start all over again with, and then, you know, half of the things that I even brought in those two suitcases I didn't need, but I could have done with just one suitcase probably. But it was just very, very liberating to just start all over again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I said, we each had two, just like you and Doug did. You each had two. We each had two suitcases and an animal each. So, and that was plenty. And like half of the stuff I don't even need. I don't even use anymore. Of course, most of what I brought was to move to the beach, you know, so I definitely don't need that here.
Right. So you mentioned that you moved here with your pets. Was that a hard process? Was it challenging?
You know, it's not that hard. It was totally worth it. I'll just preface it by that. It's very time sensitive. So, you know, as long as you follow the guidelines that Jackie sets forth, you know, on this tour for you, you'll be fine. If I can do it with three pets, then, you know, if you're just bringing one, then it's really not that challenging. We've also had people that thought it was all just incredibly overwhelming and decided to pay about $3,000 per pet to have everything done for them, and that's moving from North America here to Panama. And they had big dogs, three big dogs, so that was it was almost $10,000 for the three of them. So you can always pay someone to do everything for you, but I did every bit of it on my own. The only, you know, hard part was because of the airline. I had a problem with the situation with the airline. Always make sure that you do your research when you're thinking about bringing your pets. You know, always check all the airlines, look at their pet policies because they're all going to be different. And just follow the guidelines that we set forth, you know, for you. You'll have them in the book that you get when you come on the tour, and it'll tell you everything that you need to know. If you follow those step by step, then it's fine. You know, I wouldn't have come without them. You know, and people laugh, and I said I would have left my husband home first before any of my animals. So, you know, and that's just true because I'm a huge animal lover. So, the time, because it is so time sensitive, is a little bit daunting. But just take a deep breath and just do it, and it's really not that, you know, not that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I would be more than happy to go through the whole process. But
what? No, we'll talk about it on the tour.
Yeah,
What advice do you have for someone that's thinking about moving to Panama?
Do your research. The best thing that you can do, absolutely, hands down, is to go on this tour. I don't think it would have been as seamless as a transition for the three of us as it was had we not taken the tour. If you follow all the advice that Jackie gives you, if you keep that book, in fact, I still have my Panama Relocation Tour book from 2014. Now it's grown, of course, quite a bit. I have the newest one as well because, you know, information is added to it all the time. But if you just follow it, you know, step by step, because it tells you, it lays it out for you. You're going to hear about it on the tour. You know, you're going to get to see all the different areas. You know, by the time the tour is over, you're going to know, is this a place for you? Is Panama the country that you really want to move to? And if so, what area? You know, do I want to move to the beach? Do I want to stay in the city? Do I want to come to Boquete or Bacan? You're going to know that. I just say, you know, you pretty much just have to chill. You have to relax, just kind of take a deep breath because it can get very overwhelming. Once you start, though, that process and you know in your heart that this is what you want to do, trust me, it gets a lot easier. If we couldn't sell, you know, what we were trying to get rid of, we either gave it away or threw it away. We, you know, and like Jackie said, it's so incredibly freeing and liberating when all that stuff that you thought you needed and you've held on to for 30 or 40 years, you see you don't need it. So it's challenging, but just listen to the information that Jackie's going to tell you. Keep that book that you're going to get and just follow her advice because, you know, she's helped thousands of people move here. And we've done so successfully. You know, renting, like she said, is a big thing. I can't stress that enough. Had we not rented first in Playa Blanca, I'm not sure if we'd still be in Panama. because had we bought, you know, bought that condo and then not been able to get rid of it quickly, you know, my son would have been unhappy. I would have been unhappy. And I really think we probably would have just had to go back to North America, which was for me never an option. But for him, I would have done it. So I'm saying rent, because we were able to just, with, you know, 30 days notice, tell our landlord this is what we're doing, and they were, you know, or our property managers, I should say, totally behind us, you know, helped us move our stuff, you know, to have it shipped across the country, still friends with them today. So, you know, just whatever you're told, whatever Jackie says, she knows what she's talking about. They're coming up. Well, we would have started 122 today, right? Isn't that right? Number 122.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so yep. Listen to her. She knows what she's talking about.
Yeah,
and I learned something every 122. This would have been it today. Yeah.
Yep. That's a lot of tours.
Yeah, it is. So listen to her. She knows what she's talking about. And I learned something new, even though I've done, I'd say, at least 20 maybe now with you, Jackie. I still learned something new. And it's all so applicable that, you know, just listen. And that's all I have to say. Enjoy. Enjoy your time here in this country. Try to soak all of it in. And remember, even after the tour, she's going to be there for you. I mean, you know, look at me. That's the first person I called when my son wasn't happy, was Jackie. I need help. And, you know, she's going to be there. And when she said she's going to be there, she means it. So but I guess that's just my recommendation is just listen. Listen to what she says. Take her advice. Keep that book, because I still have mine. I still have mine with my notes from September 2014. And I used it the entire time just trying to get ready to even move here. And then once I got here. So that's my best advice that I can give.
So before I go to the Q&A, by the way, if you have a question for Ellen or for me, all you need to do is press *6, and that'll put you in line to ask a question. We're only going to be doing questions for about 15 minutes, so we might not get to all of them this time, but I'm not going to do those 2- and 3-hour marathon calls like I've done in the past. This is a 1-hour call.
Yeah.
So one other question for you, Ellen, before we go to the questions. Have you had any experience or any problems that have made it necessary for you to go see the doctor? And what did you think about the medical care or the health care here?
You know, that's a great question, because in 12 years, when I lived in North America, within a 12-year span, I had 15 surgeries. I suffered from chronic pain. I was on a ton of medication. So for me, doctors were all the time, 4 times a year, because we had 4 seasons in Alabama. Every time the seasons changed, I was sick. Since I've moved here for, like I said, over 4.5 years, I have never had to go to the doctor. I just don't get sick like I did back in the U.S. I went one time for a health certificate that they said we had to have for our visa when we moved here, and the doctor sat down, just asked me about my surgeries, my medications, and he honestly spent more time with me and was more concerned and caring than the hundreds of doctor appointments that I had had, you know, in those 12 years. My husband has had to go once, and my son has had to go once, and, you know, they were in and out within 10 minutes. Their payment was $15, or I think $12 for my husband, because they gave him the pension auto discount. And that's not the copay. That was just the flat rates. You know, they're just very extremely caring. You know, they always will give you their phone number, their cell number, you know, just so if you have a problem after hours to call them. And, you know, they're just very thorough. You know, they want to know everything, too, that's going on, not just why are you here. You know, so you're here, you have a cold, okay, I don't care about your stomach ache or your knee problems. You know, they care about everything. You know, we often say they put the care back in health care. And just what limited exposure I've had, you know, through my family and friends that I've known has just been, you know, it's absolutely amazing. So, and the cost, wow. I mean, our copay was $25, and that was just to see the GP. That wasn't our final bill. You know, so it's been amazing. I've been extremely impressed, and you know, I haven't. It's not that I haven't gone to the doctor because I was scared. It's just that I haven't needed to. You know, and I contribute that to the fresh food here, the fresh air, and everything. So.
Mhm. So I mentioned that my daughter, she moved here again. She's moved here and then moves back to Texas, and she moves here. So she's moved here again, I think about the 1st of March, and planning to be here for at least a year or two. And shortly after she got here, she got this red, looked like a blood vessel had busted in her eyeball. And I've had a couple of eye surgeries since I've been here in Panama. So what do I do? Of course, I have the cell phone number from my ophthalmologist, and I sent a WhatsApp message to the ophthalmologist, and I said, my daughter's just moved here, and she's got this red spot on her eye, and we're a little concerned about it. Can you recommend some kind of medication she could put on it, or do you think we need to go see an optometrist or ophthalmologist? He said, send me a picture of it. So I took a picture of her eyeball, sent him the eyeball. He said, nah, don't worry about it. He said, it's probably just from all the traveling and stress and the different pressure on the airplane. But he said, it'll go away. Just tell her to leave it alone. So that's how, and that one didn't cost anything.
Right.
But
exactly.
It's because I have that relationship with a doctor, and you just don't have that in other places. You know, I remember one time, this was last month or maybe the month before, Ellen and I were in Panama City getting ready to do a tour, and we were getting ready to go up to the grocery store to buy a bunch of stuff that we put in a goodie bag. And there's a store called the Jewett Center here. It's kind of like a Home Depot. And who comes walking out of that? My eye doctor, my ophthalmologist. Yeah. And he says, Jackie, you know, he remembers me. And he did the surgery years ago, but he remembers me. And if I run into, you know, one of the doctors here in Boquete at the grocery store at a restaurant, Jackie, how you doing? They just remember everybody's name, and they're just so cheerful. And, I mean, it could have been something that they did 3 years ago. And they say, you having any other problems with this? And I said, no, it was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's just a completely different environment when it comes to health care. And it's
house calls even. So, you know, house calls.
Yeah.
And I remember that from, you know, way back, you know, when I was growing up, my uncle was the doctor. So, of course, he would come to our house. But that was the standard. People, you know, they did house calls then. They do them here. Even the vets, the veterinarians will come to your house if you have a problem with a pet.
Yeah.
So it's amazing.
Yep, it really is. Okay, so I'm going to open it up for some questions. You ready, Ellen?
I'm ready.
Thank you.
All right.
By the way, thank you so much for all that great information. And everybody, Ellen, you too, help me remember after we do these questions for a little while, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing next Saturday, which will be a little bit different. Don't let me forget to tell you about it. Okay, our first caller is, I just know area code 317. I don't have a name. Go right ahead. 317?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hello? Hi.
I can hear you.
Okay, I just want to say thank you so much. I'm so excited to take this tour, and you've given me so much information.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, I do have one question.
Okay, we'll let you.
Is it better to rent furnished or unfurnished if you think you're going to stay there?
For us, furnished. I would say furnished just because you want to get here first. You want to find the area of the country that you like to live in. And you don't want to move a bunch of things down here with you. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
You don't like it. Right. In case you don't like it. And then even if you, you know, like the country, but you want to move to another part, you don't want to have to move all of that stuff, you know, your own stuff with you. So I would say furnished. It was just the easiest for us. And then we just added what we needed as we've gone along. So I'd say furnished.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with Ellen. I think it's better to go with something furnished. And I can tell you that you're going to look at some houses or condos, and you're going to say, oh, my goodness, this is boring as heck. For example, the house that I rented when I first moved here, everything in it was beige. The only artwork on the wall were mirrors. And they had beige shower curtains and beige furniture and beige walls and a beige bedspread, and it was just boring. I like color. But I knew for a couple hundred dollars I could go get some new bedspreads and new shower curtains and get some artwork to put on the wall and personalize it a little bit. But it's a lot cheaper to do that, spend $100 or $200 to personalize it, than it is to ship some of your things down, because it's quite expensive to ship things down.
Okay. Well, thank you again, both of you, for everything.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on the call. Next caller is area code 772. Go ahead. 772, your line's unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jackie, this is Peter in Syria. We took your Valentine's Day tour, and it was wonderful. Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome.
One thing we were calling to find out how Melissa is. She okay?
Melissa is doing a little bit better, and just for the benefit of people on the call that don't know what in the world he's talking about, my daughter, back in December, her hands just quit working. Basically, from her elbow down, she just didn't have any movement. She couldn't pick up anything. And she's been to a lot of different doctors and surgeons, and they want to do surgery, but we did a bunch of research and we're doing some alternative things. So some of the stuff we're doing is I have a near infrared sauna and she gets in that every day, and then we're also doing red light therapy and it's starting to work. Doing those things. It's not 100% yet, but she's a lot better. And I think just being in beautiful surroundings does a whole lot for your psyche and your stress levels, too. Yeah. But I appreciate, thank you for asking about her.
And she's with Mama, so she's much better.
Oh, yeah. But it was good to hear from you, Peter. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, thanks again.
Uh-huh. Next caller is Lisa. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Lisa and Brian. We're scheduled for your January 2021 tour.
Great.
And the question that I have is, would you recommend learning Spanish before you move or wait to take Spanish lessons once you're there?
I'll let you handle that, get that question out.
For me, Lisa, I took 2 years in high school and 2 years in university. So I was pretty sure I would be okay once I got here, but I was wrong. And let me explain, because this Panamanian Spanish is a lot different. This is a Latin American Spanish. So just like anywhere, you know, in a country, like I'm from the South, obviously, so my dialect, my drawl, whatever you want to call it, my accent is different. So being here in Panama, I don't understand a lot of what they say. I don't get it, because, first of all, it's extremely fast Spanish. Also, it's because they speak a lot of slang, you know, and that's just wherever you are in a country, that's just how it's going to be. And it seems to be a little different here in Boquete. I know I have a lot of friends that live in different parts of the country who say that. I would say start a little bit when you're still in the U.S., you know, get a few basics. A lot of people do that Duolingo, I know Jackie recommends someone, Gary A. Scott, isn't that his name, Jackie?
Another
Gary
real
Scott.
Good one is on YouTube, Spanish with Paul, I think it is. A lot of people say that's really good. You know, the more Spanish that you can, even if you can just communicate a little bit, just a few words and a big smile goes a really long way in Panama.
Yeah.
In some areas of Panama, there's a high concentration of expats, so you can get by with no Spanish. But other areas in Panama, there's just nobody speaks English. And so the more Spanish you know, the better. I'm not fluent in Spanish, but I know enough to get by. And
if you try, like Jackie says,
if you try.
Make that effort. Learn how to say hola or buenos dias, and you know, como esta, which means how are you. Just make that effort, and they'll really appreciate it. Once you get here, you know, you can hire a tutor for maybe $10 an hour that'll come into your home or meet you at a coffee shop or a restaurant. You know, that'll help. But you know what you learn, though, is you have to use it. And see, that was a lot of my problem. I mean, I can, you know, and I say this jokingly, but it's the truth. I can conjugate the heck out of a verb. Give me any verb, but when it's time for me to use it, it's like I don't know. It's like something happens, because I didn't for years. I didn't use that Spanish. So once you get here, and depending on the area that you live in, like Jackie said, you know, there are going to be places there are a lot of expats. You may not have to use it a lot, you know. But if you have to make yourself do it, because it's uncomfortable. I'm going to be honest. I'm not the kind of person that does something unless I think I can do it really well. So for me, I've had to really. To try. My husband didn't speak any Spanish. He took German in high school, and where he works, all of his mechanics are or Panamanian. So, you know, he's had to learn that. And he has amazing car Spanish, and that's what we call it, car Spanish. But it's just something once you get here, you know, that it really helps because you're here and you kind of force yourself to do it. But like Jackie said, just learn a few words before you get here, how to say hello, how to say how are you. And once you start and you make that effort, they'll help you out.
Yep, great. Our next caller is area code 301. Go right ahead.
Hi, Jackie. It's Bill and Shahida. How are you?
Well, good. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. I have a question, and I don't know if the government in Panama has considered this, but we live right outside of Washington, D.C., and so we set off all our paperwork to have it apostilled at the State Department, and we're looking for it to come back like within the next week or two. Mm-hmm. And what we're kind of worried.
You're not going to be able to come back. Yeah, they have right now. Panama's being. I'm so proud of this country.
Down.
They're being extremely aggressive about stopping the spread of the virus, and even with all their efforts, we have 200 cases in the country now. So right now, they've banned all flights from coming into Panama. They've banned all flights from leaving Panama starting tomorrow. Nobody can come in. Nobody can go out. They have what they call safety zones all over the place. People in Panama City are not allowed to come into the rest of the country unless they can prove that they live here with a water bill or electric bill. Going down into the Zora Peninsula, Chitre, and Las Tablas, you can't even go down there unless you live there. And they just put a security fence up. I'm coming into Boquete. Nobody can come into Boquete unless they actually live here. So until this virus, and I think the State Department has issued a travel advisory that nobody should do any traveling right now anyway. We just want to try to get this nasty, invisible enemy called the coronavirus out of the way, and then we can be right back to doing immigration shut down too. All non-essential businesses are completely shut down. They have grocery stores, pharmacies, hardware stores are open, doctors and hospitals, of course. And then the only other thing is some restaurants can do takeout or home delivery, but there's no dining in. Most restaurants just said, you know, we're going to take a break and we'll be back in a month or two when this is all settled down. So you're not going to be able to come anytime soon.
I guess my question is, though, if it's still longer than 6 months, we'll have to redo the FBI report and everything all over again, because if I remember correctly, I read where the government doesn't want you to come in with a report older than 6 months.
Older than 6 months, but bite your tongue. This is not going to be more than 6 months. Okay?
You're the lady. I know. If you say Jackie, I believe it.
Okay. Good hit. Good all talking right, to you.
Okay.
Next caller is area code 541. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. This is Robin.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. How are you? So my question is, if those $50,000 houses are still available, are they?
What kind of houses?
Well, I had heard somewhere that you have houses that are $50,000, like a gated community in Boquete.
It's not in a gated community, but they do have $50,000 houses throughout the country, yes.
Oh, okay, so that's still available.
Yep.
But do you have them in Boquete?
They're just south of Boquete in the area called Caldera, so it's about 15 minutes south of Boquete.
Okay, great. Can I ask another quick one?
One more quick one. We got a lot of people waiting.
Okay. Is there a service that you, like an international service for job hunting in Panama?
I get on Facebook.
Just Facebook? Okay. All right. Thank you.
Also, if you look on Panama Relocation Tours in our search bar, put out finding a job, I have an article there with a link to several different companies that advertise jobs in Panama.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Robin. Next caller is area code 646. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Ellen. Question is regarding homeschool. Ellen, when did your son start the homeschool, at what grade, and is he still in homeschool today? Like, what are the rules there for Panama?
Okay, great question. He started in sixth grade, and he is now in 10th grade. So, yes, he is still homeschooled. There are really no rules as far as homeschool goes here. I use a program online. The first year I was here, it was more like an online school. So, he had to do it daily, it's a certain schedule, which really didn't work for us because we were still, trying to travel some. And like we'd go to Costa Rica, for instance, we might not have internet. So now what I do is a lot more laid back. The program that I use, it was created by a mom who I think has four children. She's lived, I don't know how many countries around the world, and she came up with this program for that very reason. It's the way I do it, or the way he does it, is very laid back. I'm more into unschooling now because he was in school, like I said, since he was two, basically, and in public school for, K through five. So now, it's a little bit different approach that I take. I'm doing it so I can pick the curriculum I want for him. I don't want somebody to tell him what to know, even though that might not be the right thing. It might not even be true, for instance. The program I'm using is just one that I chose personally. There really are no rules for him. Or no homeschool rules, I should say, here in Panama. They do have co-ops that are available, if that's something that you would be interested in. So your child could go maybe an hour a day, and meet with other homeschool children. I just don't do that for Price because he is so active within the community. He works, I say that with quotes, with my husband a couple of days a week, basically I'm just doing, this program that I found. So really no rule set in stone here for homeschoolers in Panama.
Great. So we got time for one more question, and then I want to tell you about the big surprise I have for next Saturday. I think it's George, area code 734. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mary George, and
okay.
I have one question. It's regarding bugs, animals, critters. What do you find that's in your area? Like we have mosquitoes and flies. I'm an avid gardener, so I'm kind of wondering what am I going to find as I'm gardening?
It really depends on where you live. The answer to that depends. Okay. Ellen, I'll let you answer it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what she says, it's strictly depending on what part of this country that you want to live in. For me, I live in downtown Boquete. We just don't have that big of a problem, say, with mosquitoes. We might have no CMs, if you know what I mean, those tiny little bugs you can't see. We have coffee flies a couple of weeks a year when our coffee starts blooming. We just don't have a lot of, things that you have to worry about. Snakes. A lot of people want to know about snakes. I've seen two the entire 4.5 years I was here, and they were both dead. And depending on how, far up in elevation you live and how cool it is, that's going to dictate how much, what kind of bugs you have. Now, if you live, say, at the beach, if you live in Bocas del Toro where it's really hot, in the coastal areas, it's going to be buggy. There are going to be a lot of mosquitoes and things like that. It's really just totally where you live. And as far as gardening, I can kill an artificial plant, but I can actually grow things here because our soil is so fertile. Just about anything that you stick in the ground, Jackie's favorite plant is called a jump back plant. It's going to grow. Jackie can tell you what a jump back plant is, but if you're an avid gardener, don't worry too much about that because you're,
So jump back plant, that's J-U-M-P. For those of you that didn't understand what we were saying, it's jump, J-U-M-P, back, B-A-C-K, a jump back plant is anything you put in the ground, you better jump back because it's already started growing.
And it's true, so, it is.
And that's what a jump back plan is.
Yeah.
So I know there were a lot of you that were in line to ask a question, but we're going to stick with this 1 hour plan instead of it being an all nighter like we've done before on some of the conference calls. If you have a question and we didn't get to it tonight, you can just send an email to info@Panama Relocation Tours, and we'll be glad to answer your question then. So I would mention that we want to do these what's it like to live in Panama, conference calls every Saturday during this pandemic that's going on. It's kind of a scary time for the whole world right now. And yep. many of you had a tour that was planned and it got postponed until the end of the year or even next year, which is disappointing because you were so excited about moving to Panama. So we want to work on keeping that dream alive by offering these weekly calls with people that have already moved here for them to talk about what their life is like. If you could please send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours and let me know if you enjoyed it, if you enjoyed having an opportunity to hear what it's like for someone that's living here and what their challenges are and how they've had to course correct a couple of times and any other things that you would prefer that I ask them about. Then just let me know by sending an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours and put Panama Expat in the subject line so we know that's what the question is about. So it's nice to be able to hear Ellen talk, but wouldn't it have been great if I did a video call with me and Ellen both on video so you can see what she actually looks like and she could show you a view of where she lives. We talk about this blue skies and how pretty the mountains are. We can turn the camera and you can see what those things are like. So starting next Saturday, these weekly calls are going to be a video call. So you can see the person, see what their life is like, see where they live, see what their views are like where they live. So I think that you'll really enjoy those video calls. And that's it. I want to thank everybody for calling in tonight. We had a lot of people, a full house tonight. And thank you so much, Ellen, for taking an hour out of your away from your family to join us tonight to answer some questions and share your amazing life here in Panama.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks, Jackie.
Good night, everybody.
Night.